Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Great to be with you guys. It is a Friday Eve edition of the show. It's also Valentine's Day. So to all the brothers out there, happy Valentine's Day from Mark Ryan. Great to be here with you guys on a Friday Eve edition of the show. So much fun. We're having a great time here in studio today. So each and every day we do this thing. We call it the top three at three, the top three topics going on in sports, the top three things we're thinking about today. And Lonzo, go ahead. I know you've had some breaking news that you've been wanting to get to on this show today. I figured I'd go ahead and throw the producer a bone. Here you go.
I really didn't want to do that. Now I've already taken the article down. Jimmy Uso has been arrested. And
Who the hell is that?
Jimmy, he's a member of the Uso brothers, who are a tag team in WWE. He and his wife were in Detroit. Naomi was driving the wrong direction. She's also in the WWE, driving the wrong direction. And supposedly, according to TMZ, he pulled his shirt off and squared up against the cop. So he got taken in for disorderly conduct and some other charges. So we'll see how that affects this weekend's pay-per-view.
Jimmy Uso stupid. You see what I did there?
See, you let me say that just so you could do that.
Jimmy Uso stupid. I love it. Love it. Hey. It's the top three at three. We do it each and every day. And the top three at three begins right now. All right. Did you hear about this story with Matt Kuchar? It's truly unbelievable. So Matt Kuchar had to get a sub caddy. His normal caddy couldn't caddy for him. And this was back in November when he won the Mayakoba Classic, right? So here's the deal. He agreed to pay the caddy $5,000 before the event. But as is always the case, when you win the tournament, the caddy typically gets the standard fare is a 10% tip. Now, I don't know whether you call yourself a 15% tipper or a 20% tipper at restaurants. Usually I'm somewhere between the two. I start at 15. If I receive excellent service, I'll go up to 20, right? But Matt Kuchar won $1.296 million and gave the caddy not a penny more. When the PR campaign started to catch on to this, and when people started to say, hey, Matt Kuchar, you're cheap, he tried to throw another 15 grand at the caddy, who said, no, man, I'm offended by this. 10% of $1.296 million is $129,600, right? And if he pays his backup caddy or a caddy that he had to call out of the blue to caddy for him, that's what the caddy earns. Maybe the caddy had a lot to do with him winning the event, but he's stuck with the $5,000 that he initially gave the caddy. And therefore, people from all walks are criticizing one Matt Kuchar. Here is Tony Kornheiser from ESPN's Pardon the Interruption.
He looks bad. I know he looks cheap, but he looks bad. This is sort of murky, and we haven't heard from Kuchar yet, but his regular tour caddy wasn't with him in a tournament in Mexico. He picked up a local caddy and paid him $5,000. And that's fine, except that Kuchar won the tournament.
He won
$1.3 million. A regular tour caddy, 10%. We got 10%. But this guy doesn't have to get 10%. But if it stands at $5,000, he's getting less than 1%. You're not going to sell a lot of Skechers when everybody thinks you look this bad.
I want to hear from Kuchar, who I like. You know what? I think he's good for the
Everybody
tour.
Likes him.
If he just didn't pay this guy, you know what this looks like? I'm going to skew old now. It looks like Jack Benny.
Oh, okay.
How Jack Benny was the cheapest, most miserly man in the world.
Yeah.
What, about 75 years of his comic career? He looks like Jack Benny. You don't want to look like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you look like Jack Benny, whoever the hell that is.
You don't know. No. I knew the entire, when I heard a clip, you had no idea who Jack Benny
that?
Was.
Tell me who that is.
He's a famous comedian.
Oh, really?
It was before my time,
Why
too,
was he
but
cheap?
I know who he is. That was part of his deal. He was just really tight. That was part of his stand-up act.
Yeah, you can't do that, though. You can't do that. It gets out. If you're a poor tipper, it gets out. We know that Tiger Woods is a really poor tipper. What is it with golfers and being really, really poor tippers? Matt Kuchar, the Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket, known as being one of the nicest guys on the tour, tried to just slide by with a win and not giving his backup caddy an extra bonus there. Kind of embarrassing. All of which brings to light the following question from me to you. What athlete is ripping off his team or his city in sports right now the most? What athlete is ripping off his team or his city the most in sports? 1-844-477-3776 is the number. My opinion, outside looking in, Kirk Cousins should be throwing bags of cash out of his car in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He is absolutely robbing that team and robbing that city. They were much better with Case Keenum. And now, what do they have to show for the three-year, $90 million example that they've given him? Fully guaranteed $90 million to get a mediocre starting quarterback. We had a caller earlier in the day, and by the way, there's a challenge issued to you if you're just tuning in. Steve called in earlier today with an example. The person with the best example of the player ripping off his team or his city the most in sports, the caller with the best example, gets to host a segment of this show. So it'll be Offsides with you. Steve listed Bobby Bonilla, formerly of the Mets, who has a contract with the Mets even though he stopped playing for them in the mid-90s, that pays him $1.2 million every single year until 2028. It's the greatest contract in sports. How does Bobby Bonilla sleep at night on a bed of cash? That's incredible. You can't even say anything about that. What an amazing deal. Completely ripping off the Mets, completely ripping off the city of New York. Next up. All right. At number two, man, what a buzzkill last night for the Clemson Tigers. They just get projected into the tournament by Joe Lunardi as a 10 seed after their win over Virginia Tech. They're sitting there at 500 in the ACC, which is no small feat. They're sitting there with a good record overall of 15-8, and they go to Miami last night with no hostile crowd to speak of. No one is in attendance for a very bad Miami team that was 10-13 and 2-9 in the ACC. And you couldn't get the win. Miami banks in a shot pretty much at the buzzer to beat Clemson in a game that is going to serve to destroy Clemson's season. You watch. When the committee's deciding what teams get into the tournament and what teams are left out of the tournament, what they're going to do is they're going to say who deserves it. And how do you determine who deserves it? Who doesn't have an embarrassing loss? This was the worst possible performance for Clemson at the worst possible time. Clemson will miss the NCAA tournament, and you heard it here first. Hey, but that's okay. So will South Carolina, who laid an egg last night at number one Tennessee as well. Every team is laying an egg against Tennessee this year. The bigger picture for Clemson, though, is Brad Brownell really the guy for this team? Over 8 years, has just a .573 winning percentage. The mark of a really good coach in college hoops is .700, right? He's at .573. He's won 70% of his games at none of his three stops, be it UNC Wilmington, Wright State, or Clemson. And furthermore, Brad Brownell has only two NCAA tournament berths with Clemson, and this is his ninth year coaching there. Folks, that's just not good enough. Or maybe it is. Are you a football school that doesn't care about basketball, or is it time to expect more of your basketball team? Because in my opinion, Clemson has been overly patient with Brad, and their patience in no way, shape, or form has been rewarded. It's time to make a move. It's time for Brad Brownell to be out at Clemson. Next up, and at number one, sometimes you just need to play the audio, ladies and gentlemen. Here is none other than Scottie Pippen, one of the top 50 players of all time, with an opinion today about LeBron James.
When I look at LeBron, he's not what Michael was as a player. He's not even what Kobe Bryant was as a player. So When you talk about trying to compare Michael's instinct, his ability to take over games, his ability to want to have that last shot.
And demoralize you. And,
yes.
And scare the living hell out of you.
LeBron doesn't have that gene.
So, Scotty.
That's not in him.
You heard it there. The words of Scottie Pippen. Does Scottie Pippen have a point? The answer is yes, he does. Yes, he absolutely does. The reality is this, folks. If God created a basketball player, if God created the perfect basketball player, it would look exactly as LeBron does. 6'8", big, muscly frame, and with the skills and diversity to be able to play all five positions on the floor. There's no doubt about it, LeBron is the rarest talent that has ever existed. But I've always felt that there's something missing from LeBron. Not his game, but from LeBron himself. And in my opinion, that is that rip-your-heart-out intensity that was possessed by both Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. LeBron has this MO that if he loses or wins, whether he wins or loses, he's still cool. I'm still okay. Whereas when Michael Jordan lost, somebody was going to get their ass kicked at practice. Kobe Bryant, in the way that he railed on his teammates, is legendary. You've heard us do the segment on the topic on the show, do you have to be a jerk to be successful? I think in many cases, the answer is yes. LeBron doesn't have any dog in him. LeBron doesn't have any jerk in him. And that's why, in my opinion, there's something missing from LeBron when you compare him to the likes of Michael Jordan and, yes, even Kobe Bryant. Very well stated, Scottie Pippen. Those are today's top three at three. Now it's your chance to chime in on all the above. Matt Kuchar and his cheapness is what is the athlete ripping off his city and his town the most in sports? A heartbreaking loss for Clemson and Scottie Pippen saying LeBron isn't even the player that Kobe Bryant was. 1-844-477-3776 is the number. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number to get to us on the show. Lonzo's all fired up. We have some support for the short guys on Valentine's Day. I have a bowl idea to share with you, all still to come on the show between now and 4 p.m. You're listening to Offsides right here on ESPN Upstate. It is Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. It is great to be here with you guys on a Friday Eve edition of the show. Want to wish all of you a very, very, very happy Valentine's Day. Hope you guys have some great plans tonight. Hope you have a wonderful time. All right, Lonzo. I have been waiting, sir, to give you your chance to opine on Scottie Pippen's comments. Now, I think we probably should hear these again, okay? Because he's got a very, very big opinion about your boy, holla at your boy, LeBron James, that I particularly agree with, okay? No one's doubting LeBron's long-term greatness. Whether he's in the top 10 or whether he's number one, he's among the best 99.99% of basketball players that have ever played the game. But people get so bent out of shape in terms of all-time ratings, and I think there was a killer instinct that Kobe Bryant possessed, that Michael Jordan certainly possessed, that LeBron James does not. Here is Scottie Pippen talking to Stephen A. Smith.
When I look at LeBron, he's not what Michael was as a player. He's not even what Kobe Bryant was as a player. So, when you talk about trying to compare Michael's instinct, his ability to take over games, his ability to want to have that last shot.
And demoralize you.
And, yes.
And scare the living hell out of you.
LeBron doesn't have that gene.
So, Scotty.
That's not in him.
Lonzo, the floor is yours.
All right. First of all, what a cheap pop. Do you know what a cheap pop is?
No.
Mark Ryan, it's a wrestling term when you go out and you pander to the crowd to get a cheap applause pop. He's pandering to the crowd to get a cheap pop just to make himself feel better. This guy ticks me off to no end. I don't even like seeing him on TV because back when Jordan's first run in the NBA with the Bulls, my cousin was a big-time Bulls fan. I didn't really watch the NBA. She's like, you got to watch this guy. I'm like, yeah, I'm not really into the NBA. So I started watching, and I got hooked because, by the way, Michael Jordan is the best of all time. I don't know why people want to make comparisons, but LeBron is the best of this time, in my opinion. And no one will ever surpass Michael Jordan, but LeBron is better than Kobe. That's the thing that ticked me off the most. And the fact that Pippen said
this. Why is LeBron better than Kobe?
He just is better. LeBron's not done yet, first of all. And Kobe, you talked about earlier about players who got one over on their teams. Kobe killed the Lakers by taking that big old contract, knowing that he had diminished so much and couldn't really do that much on the court. And so the Lakers are still trying to recover
and
from Kobe's last contract.
Move. That was a selfish
move
by Kobe.
Yeah, it was. But the reason why Pippen, if you put Pippen on any other team, and I know some people are going to dispute this, he would barely be an all-star. He benefited from playing with Michael Jordan. Does it make you better playing with the best? Yes, but it makes you look better because everyone's putting so much attention. It's like when you got a killer defensive end, like a J.J. Watt, and he's getting double or triple teamed, the guy on the other side is going to do a whole lot better in most cases because he's got one guy on him who he can get past. It's the same sort of thing. Michael Jordan's getting double and triple teamed. Somebody else is going to be open. Was Pippen good? Yes. But I always think of the last time I watched the Bulls, the last time I was a Bulls fan, was when Tony Kukoc was – the play was called for him to take the last shot, and Scottie Pippen sat on the bench like a big old baby and wouldn't even come out on the floor. I mean, you talk about prima donnas. After he did that, he has no room to talk or say anything ever again in my presence or anybody's presence. He should shut up and go home.
Listen to Lonzo coming strong here on the show today. I disagree with you, Lonzo. I think that the killer instinct of Kobe, I think if you put, you know, Kobe at his best was unstoppable. LeBron at his best is close to unstoppable, but you just knew in certain games that Kobe Bryant was not going to allow the opposition to win. And the only game that I ever can remember feeling like that about LeBron was the Game 7 against the Warriors. And yes, he got it done. And credit to LeBron for getting it done in that particular game. But I don't think long-term, I think to be the best ever, you have to have some dog in you. And I just don't sense that in LeBron. I've never have sensed that in LeBron. 1-844-477-3776 is the number. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN. The Health There text line is there for you at 71307. Simply start your text with the word ESPN and then get to your message. You can get to us on Twitter at Mark Ryan on air, at Lonzo on word, at ESPN Upstate. And you also can email me, Mark Ryan at ESPNUpstate.com. All right. A little love, a little Valentine's Day love for all the short guys out there, right? You know how, like, when we talk about Kyler Murray in the NFL and going to the NFL draft and so on and so forth, we talk about him, you know, being short in stature. And true to form, he's 5'9 and three quarters, right? And Lincoln Riley, his former coach, comments on his height because Kyler Murray and the Giants just came out this week and said, even though we have the sixth pick, Kyler Murray is a little bit short for us. Lincoln Riley comments on Kyler Murray's height, which is all the rage here.
I get it, because if you've never worked with a guy, you may have those reservations. You know, I didn't know what it would be like working with Baker, working with Kyler, until I went through the fire with him. I mean, you know, you knew they were talented guys. You knew at the same time you might have to make some concessions for the fact that they aren't prototypical height-wise. And then once I got going with those guys, we never had to make those concessions. I mean, it was no different. I've had 6'3", 6'4", guys, and it was no different. I mean, these guys just, you know, have a gift to be able to do it. I'm not saying every NFL quarterback can do it at that height. You can't. But there's guys that are just gifted enough and are able to still get it done, to still get the ball out where they need to be, to not have the tip passes. And these are two of the few guys in the world that can do that.
Lincoln Riley continues, and, you know, Ken being short in stature help Kyler Murray in terms of can his passion help him overcome a lack of height?
Kyler's a very, very thoughtful, very thorough person. And, you know, I knew after the football season ended and as we had conversations with different people around football, it became pretty apparent that he played himself into a pretty good position in their eyes, and obviously had the baseball thing there certainly as well. And so, you know, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think he got to the point where he knew he had a good situation either way. And I think in the end, he just has a love for football that he just couldn't get past. And I think the idea of being an NFL quarterback was what appealed to him the most. And it also, you know, made sense, you know, as far as the way he's played, the way he's viewed in that league, and, you know, where he's, you know, most likely getting ready to get drafted. So I think all it just came together. He took his time, was patient, mature about it. And I'm excited, not because he's playing football. I'm just excited because he's getting to do, you know, what makes him happy. That's all I care about.
Lincoln Riley, Kyler Murray's former college football coach at Oklahoma. Here's the reality of the situation. All we do, and this is for all the short guys out there, okay, on this Valentine's Day, all we do is talk about quarterbacks that are too short and how it limits them in terms of their potential at the next level, which is bogus and completely wrong. Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Doug Flutie, all significantly under 6 feet, all awesome quarterbacks at the NFL level, right? I would argue, folks, and here's something I want you to pay attention to because I don't think you've heard this before. I would argue it's a bigger handicap to be significantly taller than the mean than it is to be significantly shorter than the mean at the quarterback position. Don't believe me? I'd like you to go back to what certain players look like that were really tall. What did they look like when they were playing at the quarterback position in the NFL? Okay, what do they look like? Let's list all the guys 6'5 or taller in the NFL right now, okay? 6'5, Zach Mettenberger. 6'5, Josh Allen. 6'5, Blake Bortles. 6'5, Carson Wentz. I count that as 1 for 4. 6'6 quarterbacks in the NFL. Sean Mannion, Nick Foles, Mike Glennon. I count that as 1 for 3. 6'7 quarterbacks in the NFL. Brock Osweiler, Paxton Lynch, the bust that John Elway drafted. Okay? The quarterback whisperer John Elway didn't even know. So, ladies and gentlemen, have we in fact stumbled upon something here? Is it in fact more of a handicap to be taller than it is to be a shorter quarterback at the National Football League level? I say absolutely yes. And when you look at some of these big beasties out there, you know, they look gangly and awkward. They have really long windups with their throws. Byron Leftwich was another one like that, you know? And they can't move around as much. They don't have the fluidity of the short guys. They just don't. So if you're a short guy on this Valentine's Day feeling less than, I'm here to tell you, don't. Because not only is the short guy syndrome in the NFL at the quarterback position a bunch of hooey, it's also factually incorrect. I hereby establish that it is more of a handicap to be 6'5 or taller at the quarterback position than it is to be under 6 feet. And my gosh, I mean, you have to fit into such a window of specificity here. You've got to be between 72 and 76 inches tall to play quarterback in the NFL. The taller the better, but don't be below 72 inches because 70 inches just won't cut it, right? It makes, folks, it makes absolutely no sense to me. We've now provided the evidence. You can chime in at 1-844-477-3776. I would go shorter before I would go taller. I would go shorter than 6'5 before I go shorter than 6 foot before I go taller than 6'5. And the numbers say that only 2 out of 9 quarterbacks in the NFL over 6'5 are worth a damn at all. It's kind of embarrassing, if I'm honest with you. All right? So cheers today for the short guys. Lonzo, what do you make of this?
I don't think height really matters when it comes to, I think it's about the talent of the player, the heart of the player, all that kind of, but as you've shown, I mean, when you think 6'7", the first person I think of is Osweiler, and that was horrible. And then you mentioned Paxton Lynch. I think somewhere between 6'2 or 6'3 would be ideal. But again, I think it comes down, we've seen shorter guys do pretty well. Drew Brees is not very tall. There are a lot of guys out there that are not that tall. When did this come about? Because I guarantee you when the NFL started way back when, the first quarterbacks were not over 6 foot tall because people were just not that tall back then. So somewhere this standard was brought about. Who did it? Was it the owners, all of them together, bring about the standard? Or just one guy go, you know, the best quarterback has to be this height, and then they've stuck with it forever, and it's a stupid rule.
Yeah, it's a dumb rule, and it's kind of a dumb standard, which is kind of like that dumb two-point conversion chart that they have where, you know, if it's a certain time in a certain place, you have to go for two. It's all situational, in my opinion. You go for two based on the situation of the game. I don't need a chart to tell me, oh, it's not the fourth quarter, so I can't go for two yet. It's really dumb. It's really kind of ridiculous. So you heard Lonzo just say, guys, it's not the size. It's how you use it that counts, okay, on this Valentine's Day. The message from Lonzo Reitzel to you on this very, very nice Valentine's Day edition. Don't shake your head at me, Lonzo. That's exactly what you said. It's how you use it, right? The big quarterbacks suck. They're gangly and they're awkward, and it takes them forever to get rid of the ball. Cheers to the short guys today, man. Cheers to the short guys on Valentine's Day. Because this one, ladies and gentlemen, is for you. All right, coming up next, I have an idea to spruce up bowl season that I want to share with you. And I need to appeal to your open mind. And it's next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate. All right, guys, I want to invite you to stick and stay for Straight Up with Sturge today. My buddy, who was my producer in Tampa, formerly an afternoon drive host in Norfolk, Virginia, Jeff Pantridge, is filling in alongside Diesel from 4 to 7 p.m. right here on ESPN Upstate. Want you to stick and stay for that. Always a fun show. He's high energy. He's really funny. The guy's a borderline comedian, and he does a really, really good sports show. Make sure you stick and stay for that. Coming your way at 4 p.m. today from 4 to 7 right here on ESPN Upstate. So I need to appeal to your open minds now, ladies and gentlemen. I need to appeal to your open minds, okay? And I want you to give this 30 seconds after you hear it before you rush to judgment, because I feel like your initial reaction, your visceral reaction could be negative to this, all right? Here is my idea to improve bowl season in college football. Are you ready? Here we go. The idea is as follows. If you win your bowl game, you start next conference season 1-0 the next year, okay? So what does that do? It serves as the first tiebreaker among all conferences, okay? Oh, Mark Ryan, that's absolute craziness. Are you kidding me? You shouldn't have anything for next year dependent upon what happens in a previous season. Well, why not? If you want to create buy-in for the bowl games, if you love bowl games and hate what's happened to them, as I, for one, do, then you want to accept any possible way to bring the flavor for bowl games back. Secondly, wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be nice if the seniors, if the departing seniors, could give something to give a gift to their underclassmen? How about starting 1-0 in conference play the next year? So you're going to have 9 games, or you'll have 10 games when everyone else in your conferences finishes with 9, and it'll just serve as the first tiebreaker. It'll serve as the first tiebreaker in all of college for the college football standings. Okay, suddenly bowl games matter again. Suddenly, departing seniors can give their underclassmen a gift. Suddenly, we have a better tiebreaker system than all these three-way tiebreakers. Is it outside the box? You better believe it. It's outside the box. Is it a little bit crazy? Well, not as crazy as home field advantage in the World Series being on the line in the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. But I think it adds a level of importance to bowl games again. I think it would bring the stars back playing in the bowl games again. Okay? So that's my idea. That's my idea as I see it. I think it would add a lot to the postseason in college football. I think it would create drama. I think it would create excitement. And I think you would watch the bowl games when you're no longer doing so. It would make the bowl games matter more than anything. It would create the sense of urgency that they've lost. Let's be honest. Bowl games have become exhibition games. You don't have time for exhibition games. I don't have time for exhibition games. I want to watch something that matters. Lonzo, have I completely and totally lost my mind here?
I think it's a good idea, but I don't think it'll ever happen. I think they're happy with the way the bowls are right now. Even though I agree, most of them are unwatchable, I think they're happy with it. And as they've shown with not going to 8 teams in the playoff and how long it took them to go to four teams, they're not going to make any changes anytime soon because the old good old boys who run the thing, they're just not into change.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense to me, and your calls on this are welcome at 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN. I've got an idea to improve bowl season, okay? And I think it's a winning idea, and I think it's one that works. If you like the idea, great. If you don't like the idea, give me a better one, because we can all agree that the bowl system is broken. There's nothing to like about the way things are done right now. Something needs to change, or you need to get rid of the bowl games because they're meaningless, and nobody cares about them anymore. Nobody cares about them at all. You've got to figure out a way to spruce this up. You've got to figure out a way to make this pop again. A check on the Health There text line at 71307. I love this soccer talk. Upstate is a slept-on soccer hotbed. Yeah, we'll get to some soccer talk here and there. The Women's World Cup is coming up this summer. Can't wait for that. I also asked, what would you rather have if you're a Clemson basketball fan, an NIT title or losing in the first round of March Madness? And somebody texted in that they'd rather lose in the first round of March Madness. Lonzo and I both agree with that. All right, let's get right to it. And Neil is up first here. He's not? Oh, Neil wants – Neil, what do you make of my bowl idea, Neil? Go ahead.
Actually, I was calling to talk about the Kobe and LeBron and Michael story, if I could.
Go ahead, Neil.
Because I usually agree with Lonzo, but I'm going to disagree with him here. First of all, I just want to say, Mark, my wife was in the room just a minute ago when you told everyone that Lonzo said that size doesn't matter, it's the way you use it. So she actually got a really good kick out of that.
I'm glad she got a kick out of that instead of wanting to kill me. I knew it was going to be one of those
she
two reactions.
She thought that was hilarious. And like okay. I told her, if it wasn't the case, I wouldn't be married, man. I mean, come on. Second thought of the day before I get to the NBA. Clemson hadn't, in basketball, they hadn't beat anybody. They still haven't beaten anybody.
No, they beat number 11 Virginia Tech. Yeah. That's a good win.
That four game winning streak consisted of a bunch of no ones, let's be honest. But as far as what I call for, it was about what Lonzo said, and I'm going to disagree with him on some things and agree with him on some. As far as Scottie Pippen, I agree with him. I wish he'd shut up, because if he played LeBron in a game of 21, LeBron could beat him 21-0. As far as what he said about Scottie as a player, I'm going to disagree in some aspects. Scottie might be the best on-ball defender that ever played basketball. If you go back and look, he could guard any position, and he was amazing at it, which made Michael look even better than Michael was. Not saying that Michael wasn't the greatest of all time. That's not my point. Scottie was as good or as better than anybody defensively that ever played the game. All you have to do, your eyes don't lie. Go back and watch the games. Offensively, Michael did make Scottie better than he really was, obviously, because Michael was so dominant on the offensive side. But the thing I wanted to disagree with Lonzo as far as Kobe versus LeBron, Kobe is the best player when it comes to the toughest shots in NBA history. People don't realize how hard it is to, when you're double teamed, to even get a shot up. And a lot of times Kobe was double and triple teamed. Not only did he get those shots up, he made those shots. Overall, I agree. LeBron is the most talented player in NBA history. And you can make the argument that he might be the most talented player in the history of sports. At his size, his athleticism, his speed, his strength. But the one thing he does not have that Kobe, that Michael did have, is the killer instinct. When Kobe walked onto the court, he wanted you to think you had no shot in hell to beat him. And that's what made him great. That's what made Michael great. And that's the one thing that LeBron does not have. And if he did, he would be the most unstoppable athlete of all time, in my opinion.
Neil, thanks so much for the call, man. Do appreciate it. Hey, sometimes, man, the call's so good, you just let it roll. There's no need to say anything more than that. PJ has a comment on my bowl idea. PJ, I know you agree completely. Thank you so much for the call. You're offsides.
Hey, I like the idea.
Do you?
I'll hang up and listen, but I just wanted to kind of what happens when teams are playing in bigger bowl games against more likely opponents. Of course, the ones playing for the national title are going to have a little bit of different opponent than the ones playing in like the Outback Bowl or the Gator Bowl or something like that. So I'll hang up and listen. Just curious what happens to those teams that play in the bigger bowl games.
Yeah, I mean, look, the teams that play in the bigger bowl games, as long as you're not in the playoff, you get the win. And even if you are in the playoff, your team gets the win the next season. So you could have a situation where Vanderbilt has the tiebreaker over Florida because Vanderbilt won a lower bowl and Florida won a bigger bowl. But so be it. Them's the breaks. If you don't want to lose the tiebreaker, have a better record than Vanderbilt in your conference, right? It's as simple as that. Let's keep it rolling. And Billy, who is up next? I can't believe I have somebody who likes my idea. I'm sure Billy will continue the love here. Billy, you're up next. You're offsides, bud. Go ahead.
Hey, I've got a different idea. Not that I don't like yours, but I just think this would fix a lot of the problems. The biggest issue with bowls now is not just that it doesn't matter if you're not in the playoff. Obviously, that's true unless it's your fan base. The other problem, the biggest problem that I've seen for years, is the same matchups because you've got the conferences going in and making arguments for each one of these programs or schools or whatever. I think the best thing to do is let the schools go out and there'd be no conference affiliation at all with bowls. Just let each school go out and dictate where they're going to go and let it just rest at that. Because if you don't, then you're going to get the same bowls all the time. And I, you know, like South Carolina, they either go to the Outback Bowl or something like that. And, you know, that trip is good one or two times, but when you go 4 or 5 years in a row, it just gets to be monotonous.
It's so boring. You're right. And it's like the tie-in. You're going to play a Big Ten team every single year.
That's
right?
Exactly right. There's no different matchup. So let each school go out and do their own bowl tie-in or whatever, you know, wherever they want to go each year. Let it be different. And I think that would probably bring more excitement back into
You know what else would bring excitement back, Billy? If we get very few matchups that are little guy versus big guy in the bowl games, you know? We got UCF against LSU, and that's it, right? I think almost every little guy should have a chance to play a big guy. Arkansas State, hey, guess what? You get to play Tennessee in the bowl game. Okay?
I mean, you know who would be against that, don't you, Mark? You know who would be against that? The big guys.
Yeah, but I love that idea.
The big guys are no part of that.
Yeah, so. but I think that's awesome. The little guys should get to one chance to play the big guy. Arkansas State against Buffalo does nothing for me. You know, nothing. But yeah. Arkansas State against Tennessee, I'll watch that. Right, I want to see if the little guy has a chance to knock off the big guy. I'm a big proponent of that. Billy, thank you so very much for the phone call, man. Do really appreciate that. Lots of people chiming in on my bowl idea, which I greatly appreciate on the show. Hey, each and every day here on Offsides, we close the show with the best thing I heard today. And that is up next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. It's ESPN Upstate. A check on the Health There text line, in which you can get to us at 71307. Simply start your text with ESPN, and away you go. Hey, the bowls exist because of the point spreads. Yeah, I mean, look, everybody likes betting the bowls. Nobody's disputing that you like betting the bowls. But if they're just point spreads, you realize only 10% of people, sports fans, watching the games bet on the games, only 10%. The other 90% are bored because the best players are no longer playing in the bowls, and the bowl games don't even matter to begin with. My idea of creating a situation where if you win your bowl game, you start your next conference season 1-0, and it serves as the first tiebreaker, I really like. It makes the bowl games relevant again. Hey, how about the best thing we heard today, huh? How about Scottie Pippen going in on his opinion that not only is LeBron not the best player in the NBA, Scottie Pippen, it sounds like, doesn't even really think he's top 10.
When I look at LeBron, he's not what Michael was as a player. He's not even what Kobe Bryant was as a player. So when you talk about trying to compare Michael's instinct, his ability to take over games, his ability to want to have that last shot.
And demoralize you.
And, yes.
And scare the living hell out of you.
LeBron doesn't have that gene.
So Scotty,
that's not in him.
So if Scottie Pippen played LeBron James one-on-one in Scottie Pippen's prime and in LeBron James's prime, they played a 15, Lonzo. What's the score? LeBron versus Scottie Pippen, both in their prime.
15-2.
15-10. We both agree LeBron wins, but it's a competitive game. Scottie Pippen is a great defender. He's got the size and height to body up LeBron. He's one of the best defenders of all time. Guys, it has always been a great week to be with you. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 to 3:30, but Jeff Pantridge will be filling in for me. I'm off. I'll be back on Tuesday. Guys, as is always the case, we thank you so much for making Offsides a part of your show. We greatly appreciate you. For Lonzo, for Matt Hogan, my name is Mark Ryan. Thanks so much for listening to Offsides right here on ESPN Upstate.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.